Today we celebrate the Feast of the Holy Innocents. Now, the traditional day for that is December 28th, just a couple of days after Christmas, but if we had this feast day and celebration that day, I'm pretty sure it would be Buddy Lisa and me celebrating. There'd be a huge crowd. It's good instead to move it, and actually to, more importantly, restore it to the true order that it should be in. That is, what we have today's story doesn't come before the wise men, it comes after the wise men. And actually, let me just pause and say very quickly, we should never call these men wise. I don't know why we have chosen that as the translation. Magi is fine, astrologers are fine. Wise, they are not wise. You do not go to a king known for being a brutal dictator and say, I heard there's a new king, can you point me in his direction? It's not going to go well for anyone. It's a miracle they got out alive, much less anyone else. So they go, they ask the king, where's this new king? And he goes, I don't know, why don't you tell me? In one of the more duplicitous comments in the Bible. They go and they find the Christ child in Bethlehem. They narrow it down to more or less a birth date, time, and the location for Herod. They go, and then the wise men are warned, don't go back to Herod because he wants to know where the child is. So they go home a different way. Joseph has a dream and is warned, and so they get up and flee to Egypt and hide there until Herod dies. And Herod becomes furious because he realizes he's been tricked. He thought he was going to pull the trick, and he got tricked instead. And in his rage, maybe over tricking, but probably also just fear that there was son to oppose him, he kills all the children in Bethlehem under the age of 2. It's not really one of those gospel stories that is good news. There's not a lot of good news in it. It's sad. It is tragic. It is horrible. It is, in so many ways, what happens in our world when God truly comes near. We react in fear, in violence, in rejection. If you pay any attention to any verses in Scripture, Old or New Testament, you will see it over and over again. God comes in and says, you've got to fix what you're doing. And usually the response is not, okay, God, we'll fix that. It's, I won't, and I'll kill anybody that you send to do it. The prophets don't make it out alive. They're all killed. Jesus is killed because he tries to overturn the world in which we live. Last week, we celebrated a prophet. And Martin Luther King, he was killed because he was revolutionary. And make no mistake, he was assassinated in the city that I grew up in Memphis, because he was a revolutionary, not because he was a prophet of peace and freedom and justice the way he's been rebranded. King was one who sought a radical change in our world, a change that really as Christians we are called to make as well, a change that says God cares the most for the poor and the hungry and the lost and the widow and the orphan and the refugee. And our focus should be there, not on all the other things we want to focus on. Or the quote that you will most likely only occasionally see, but perhaps is one of King's most important, is, do not just give a beggar money, but ask and question the system which created the beggar. Those are revolutionary words. It's a question of how do we end up with those people on the street, and why are we complicit in it, and how do we change it and make it better? No, when God's word comes near, it's revolutionary. It wants to turn up everything that we're doing and flip it in the floor and change it. And so the response is typically violence and anger and all too often death. The holy innocents are the same. Now we should name that as a community, we do try to do a great deal in these areas. But it's interesting, when the founders of our community got together, they didn't necessarily name us holy innocents in the strictest definition of the term. That is, the holy innocents are the babies who are killed by Herod and buried. And today we rightfully witness and bear witness to all of the holy innocents of our day, those children who have died because of violence in our state. That is truly the corollary for what the feast day maybe should be. But the ladies who started our ministry said, the dead God has cared for. We should care for the living ones, the orphans, the widows, the people left behind dealing with the devastation of the Civil War. It wasn't just for the dead, it was for the living. If we're really listening to the scripture today, that might well be the lesson that we should hear, is while we mourn the massacre, our readings are fascinating because it's not just about the massacre, but we actually pull in that heavenly Jerusalem and that Revelation reading where God says, I am life, not death. In other words, God comes and says, I want you to have life and have it more abundantly on one end, and we get mad, and so we hang him on a tree. And then on the other end, God says, but I'm still about life even after death, and it's in life and love that you will be made free. It's a fascinating thing, really, if we think about it. We want to have certain things defined certain ways, but when we talk about God, it's a God of life and love. My younger son, Abe, has a quick wit, but he also just has a quirky way of viewing the world. You always have that one child that says things you don't expect, and we've gotten to a point where we write down the things he says because they are truly of his own thinking and in his own world and process. We don't know how it gets there. We don't teach it. We just have it. I'll give you a couple of examples. One of my favorite ones is one day he was riding home with his mother, who was a Spanish teacher by training, and said, Mama, how do you say I have a hog in my pants in Spanish? To which my wife rightfully said, I'm not telling you that. What? One day he asked me, I like your car, Dad, but can you cut a hole in the ceiling? I said, why would I cut a hole in the ceiling of my car? He's like, well, when I become a giraffe, I will have to have somewhere to put my head. Okay. He's always looking at things a little differently, examining the world strangely. But one day he had a comment that actually I think might best sum up the life of the Christian as well as what we might well be called to be as holy innocents. I came and picked him up from, I can't remember if it was preschool or kindergarten, but came and picked him up. And I asked him the sort of classic question you ask everyone, how was your day? And with an exasperated sigh, he said, oh, the same thing I do every day. I said, oh, what is that? And he said, yeah, I was fighting evil. Oh, okay. I was fighting evil. That was his answer, and that was really the only answer I could get out of him. He just said, I was fighting evil all day. But in so many ways, that is, if we are to be the people of holy innocence, that is the call, that is the prayer that we make, that God would frustrate the plans of the wicked. In the same way, that is our calling as people of God, is to be about that overturning of tables, that transforming of the world. It is to fight evil, to be a witness that God is life and love and abundance and hope, even when the world around us demands division and pain and death. We are called to fight evil, to love the people around us, and to be an example of love in a world that says it doesn't matter. It's to be a community that says the most important organizations in our city are not the ones that are exclusive and gated, but the ones that quite frankly are CAC and Horizons and La Amistad and groups and agencies that care for the poor and the hungry and the homeless and the lost. That's God's kingdom. That's where we're called to be, and that's where we're called to fight evil. To be that example of hope, and that life matters more, even in the face of death and difficult times. So the injunction is easy, even if it is really hard to do. Join Abe in fighting evil. Join God in being a God of life and of love and of hope. Remember the holy innocents as we proclaim that God is among us and alive and wants a life and love as well for all of us. Fight, my friends, fight evil. Amen.